Well, actually, you've been chatting for 5 minutes already, and I've just decided that this is a really good topic to actually include on the podcast. We're just talking about hyper focus and how, like, CB was telling me how once he gets started on something, he finds it really difficult to deviate and actually, like, until the task is completed, that is his sole purpose to complete. But yeah, I think, bruv, honestly, I think in our line of work and in our generation today, I think hyper focus is an amazing thing to have.
It's good until you haven't eaten today.
I can relate. I do that, but not out of hyper focus. I do it out of just being an idiot and forgetting to eat lunch.
Honestly, it's so bad. Like today, I've been focusing so much on this one task. Like, I just haven't eaten. Like, I just can't, like, some of my body won't allow me to move away from this computer and go downstairs and enjoy a meal. Like, it's so annoying, man. But hopefully it will get sorted. Hopefully it will get fixed, and then I won't have to worry about this. But I'm DJing tonight in it, so when I DJ, everything kind of just and all the stress and all this stuff just leaves my mind. I can just focus on the music and, like, honestly, DJing is the best escape.
Yeah, it is good therapy. You know what? I find actually when I'm in a crappy mood or something shit's happened and I do need to just unplug and get into like escapism, that's the phrase. When I need some escapism, because I don't do drugs and because I don't really have any vices whatsoever. Actually, video gaming. I do like to video game, but don't do that often because I'm busy everywhere else. So the benefit of doing what we do is, yeah, like I do treat DJing as escapism because I can just switch on DJ Double when I'm in the club. That's it. And I'm in the club, and then my purpose is to entertain people. Doesn't always work though, you know? Like if whatever stressed me, if it makes me super tired, I find it so difficult to focus, bro. Like
Focus on
even just like,
DJing or just in
yeah,
general.
focus on DJing, focus on structuring my set, focus on what's the mood of the room, literally focus on every element of doing the DJ set there and then. I actually,
Weirdly.
and in fact, to be fair, actually had that same problem last night.
Oh, really? Where'd
I
you
did.
put? You
I
put, it was
did.
in Watford last night, innit?
Yeah,
Watford.
that's right. I was DJing last night and just couldn't focus. It was nothing like, I don't think it was to do with stress. I think it was more to do with tiredness, really. But yeah, just like, found it very, very difficult to structure much. And I don't know. I feel like if I listened back to my set, it would be all over the place. But then I do sometimes think like, do civilians even notice?
No. Well, I was about to say I actually play a lot better when I'm tired, weirdly. I not like
Really?
some of my best sets are when I'm knackered, but I
No
think it's
way.
because I zone out more. Like, you know, when you're completely in the zone, I play
Yeah.
so much better. So when I'm, say for example, I've done like four or five bookings, or I've had a two bookings in one day or three bookings in one day, and I go do my last set on a Saturday, I normally
Yeah.
play the best, my best set. I just zone out and I just play tunes. I don't know if it's because, like, I'm not picking up my phone. All I'm doing is just like, because I'm so tired, I can only do one thing.
Yeah,
So I
yeah, yeah.
just fully focus on the DJing and I play so much better. It's weird.
That's so
Because
interesting.
like, if I'm too alert, I'm like paranoid. I'm not paranoid, that's the wrong word. I'm overthinking. Because if I'm too alert, I'm like, oh, the crowd, like, I'm proper looking at specific people in the crowd. Oh, I've just dropped this song and they don't like it. But if I'm a bit tired and I'm not really focusing on that, I play so much better. It's strange, man. I don't know. My brain just works differently.
That happens to me when I'm drunk. It's no, I'm not even joking. It's not when I'm tired. When I'm drunk, I unintentionally take myself out of the crowd, if that makes sense. Like, I still do react to their reactions, but I have noticed after like doing sets where I've been smashed and then thought, what did I even play last night? Looking at my playlist and I'm like, rah, that I played that song. That's
You
not
take.
even a club. How did I work that song in between those two songs as well? How did that even occur?
You take
And
so
then I'm
much more
like,
risks. It's
yeah,
crazy.
100%. But also like, I'm playing shit that I want to hear. I'm drunk, so I'm partying. And I'm like, you know what? I want to party to this. Bang. And I'm pretty sure that it's worked every time. I've never had complaints. So yeah, but I do that. I zone out and like disconnect myself a little bit when I'm drunk. But when I'm tired, I think I'm naturally disconnected, but there's no focus. I find it so, so difficult to focus. Yeah. I've started drinking energy drinks again as well, which I swore to myself I would never do.
Which energy drink do you drink though? Like Red Bulls or?
Red Bull, yeah. I mean, obviously coffee is my blood type anyway. Do you know what I mean? So like, I drink coffee 50 million times a day. I drink coffee and go to sleep. But nowadays, especially through the summer, I remember actually we had a couple of when I was doing shows with RD at Ibiza Rocks this summer.
Hmm.
What was happening was because it was a daytime show, we're getting an early morning flight out and some of the flights were at like 5 a.m.
Yeah, the flights into Ibiza are terrible. They're terrible, yeah.
So now I've got to be at Gatwick at 3 a.m. Or 3:30. But then what happens is, naturally I don't go to bed early anyway. So it gets to like midnight and then the night before, and I kind of get nervous about sleeping in past my flight.
Yeah.
Because then I've got to be at the airport at, say, 3:30. So I've got to leave my house. I'm an hour from Gatwick. So I've got to leave my house at 2:30. It's now midnight. Everything's packed. Everything's done and ready. I could sleep for 2.5 hours. But...
You can't.
Bro, imagine if I just sleep for 2.5 hours and wake up at 4:30 and everyone's calling me. Where are you? The flight's boarding. Where are you? Like, I'm in bed.
You're like me.
That's the thing. And so I don't switch off. So I don't even sleep until we're sat on the plane. And it's usually EasyJet, so there's a delay. So now it's 6 a.m. and I'm sat on the plane, finally going to sleep at 6 in the morning. But then we land 2 hours later. So I'm on the move again, traveling, wide awake. Then we got to go straight to the show when we get there and all of that stuff. So then by the time I hit the show and get on the stage, bro, I've had 2 hours sleep in the last 36. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's like, right, that's why this year I was like, Red Bull o'clock. And literally, like, I think there's several videos of me, like, Charlie Slough always did the set before us. Like, I'm stood next to him, literally open a Red Bull and just fucking down it, literally before I play my first song. About 10 minutes into the set, it kicks in. And then 5 minutes later, RD comes out and we light the place up. Yeah. But
I stay away from energy drinks, man. They make my belly go do backflips. I can't do it. Like, coffee used to make my belly do backflips, but now I'm so used to it. Yeah. But if I have a Red Bull, a Boost or anything like that, bro, my belly's just doing a madness. I can't stand it.
Yeah. I'm lucky because it doesn't affect me like that. But I'm well aware, like, they're not good for you. That's why I stopped drinking them in the first place. Like, drinking too much Red Bull and all of that stuff and all the energy drinks fuck up your bones, bro. Like, they're that bad that it goes through your stomach into your DNA and fucks up your bones. Like, that is a mad thing. But actual research shows that, like, they mess up with your bones. So
That's crazy.
Don't want to drink too much of it, but it's one of them things where I'm like,
you need it. You do need it.
What other choice is there at this point? I'm about to do a set. I'm fucking exhausted. I need to wake up. Yeah, bang. And there's an energy drink that is invented for that exact reason.
Yeah.
So one of the topics I was going to discuss, actually, this made me think, this came actually to me this morning when I was in the gym, actually. And it was based off of how my set went last night. And I was thinking about other DJs that I've heard play. So, you know, majority of DJs, I can't even say majority, but a lot of DJs that I know, if they're residents or whatever, they just DJ, like, they'll just turn up. They don't really know what they're playing in what order. They just turn up and just play and just hold a vibe and kind of the main songs are always played. But then everything around that and the way it's structured is all different. Then you have other DJs who from start to finish will literally play the same songs in the same order.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they know the mixes that work, it works for the crowd, and they just repeat the set every single week. They just do it. Even some touring DJs do it as well. Like, I imagine people like Nathan Dorr, people like James Hype, they have their set because they're on for an hour and they know the structure of their set. So they just perform that exact set because it's like a performance rather than a DJ set. But what I'm talking about here is actually, like, from a resident's perspective, as opposed to the headliners and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on that? Like, first of all, what's your structure? Are you someone who, like, every week you just on the fly, you're just making it up as you go along? Do you have like a the set, so you know, like your Friday night club, you know what works, so you play it all in the same order, or is it even a mixture?
So I'm a wing it kind of type of guy. Like, so example, my residency tonight, I'll literally go in there and I'll quickly go into my opening folder. I'll scroll randomly, stop at a track and just press play on that. So that's
And
the
that's
first
the
song.
is that how you
That's
choose the first song?
how I choose the first song. I'm always in my opening crate. Like, I've got opening house, opening R&B, opening Afrobeats, whatever. I'll go in the main opening folder and then just pick a random song. It could be 80 BPM, it could be 115. It don't matter. And then I kind of work from there. Like, if I fall into house, I'll start playing some house. If I fall into the Afrobeats, well, and what I'll do is I'll just take my time and listen to tracks that I haven't actually played before. Like, because I just downloaded a new bunch of Afrobeats now, so I'll listen to them and see which ones I actually like and stuff like that.
What, live in the club? So you'll just start playing them, just
yeah,
out,
just
playing them
yeah,
out in the club.
because obviously, well, my club is empty at the start. No one's in there.
Right, yeah,
So
no
I
one's there
so,
from the
yeah,
first hour.
so I really take the time to like play the tracks that I wouldn't normally play in main set or warm up or whatever. And then after that, I'll play opening, and then what I'll do is once I've got kind of warmed up, I'll start playing some tunes that I like old school R&B tracks. Maybe not your bait ones, but some of your like 90s R&B that you don't normally play as well. And then the people start to come in. Normally I'll start to cater for the girls, and I will have a girls crate, but I won't play the same girls crate in the same order. I'll never play the
Right,
tracks in
got
the same
you.
order, because I don't understand why DJs would do that, because it's just boring. You're doing the same thing every single week. Surely you should be looking at your crates and being like, oh, let's try and figure out some new tracks. Because it's all well and good playing Rihanna Work, No Scrubs, Family Affairs, blah, blah, Love on Top or whatever, but there's other tracks. Do you know what I mean? There's so many other tracks. I know they work, but there are actually other tracks that can work as well. So this is why, like, you shouldn't have like a Friday night girls set list or something like that. You should just have a broad crate for, say, the ladies, and then jump in and then pick a track. I kind of have the same structure, because the night flows kind of in the same way. Opening, get myself warmed up, ladies, get the ladies dancing. Then, like, you need to get everyone on the dance floor. Because I always explain this to people, like, you got the girls on the dance floor, but the man them aren't gonna start dancing to Love on Top or like I don't know, what's it? Crazy in Love. But they'll come on a dance floor to Montel Jordan. This Is How We Do It. So you need to kind of play them rhythms to then build the dance floor. Play all them like hits so everyone kind of gets on the dance floor. Then you can start going in your different pockets. Start playing your Afro beats and stuff like that. So I kind of have the same structure from the start, like opening, ladies, and then your general club classics. And then depending on how the crowd looks, I'll go in whatever direction. But I'll never do the same thing every single week.
No, that's like, structured differently, but I'm the same. Like, I don't have like a set, like the order. Do you know what I
The
mean?
order,
Like, I'm playing
yeah.
this song, then I'm playing that song, like in that order. But I'm with you. I don't understand. I don't quite get how DJs can do that. But I
Is that
think, to be honest, like, I do think not everyone is a creative. Do you know what I mean? Some DJs just love music. They can mix on a basic level. Like, I mean this respectfully as well. I don't mean this like, oh, they're just basic, but they can mix on a basic level, but they might just lack the creativity to actually think outside the box and think different directions. They know what works because it's been working for them for weeks and months and years. So why change it? I've always wondered if, like, normal people care. Civilians, do they give a shit? Because if they're coming back to the club, but it's like, again, I know I love this analogy in that, but like, it's almost like going to McDonald's and you know what your meal is going to be if you're ordering it there. Do you know what I mean? Or a lot, let me not even say McDonald's, like any restaurant, like if you're ordering Chinese takeout, everyone knows that
Getting the same
Chinese takeout,
thing.
you always order the same stuff. And like, you know what you're going to get. If the chef starts mixing it up and changing the ingredients, you might be like, oh, I didn't like the Chinese this week. I wonder if people have that mentality when it comes to a club. Like, if there's a different DJ, if they're like, oh, well, hang on, I
This
wasn't
is gonna be.
expecting that song next. It should have been. It's weird.
Yeah, I think, like, what was I gonna say? Like, they're clearly coming for the music, right? They're coming for the music that you played. So, and I did see something
Ooh, are
online.
they? Are they? I feel like when I'm talking about this situation and when I'm talking about these kind of clubs, I'm talking about more generic mainstream clubs.
Yeah.
Because I think I like niche events and specialist events where the DJs actually have techers and don't play the same formula. That's where people are coming for the music.
Okay.
But your ordinary high street, normal commercial club, no, I don't believe people are coming for the music. I think they're coming because it's their local spot and they want a Saturday night out.
Fair. But if the music was terrible, they wouldn't come.
Yeah, this is true.
If the music was bad, then they wouldn't keep coming back. They'd go to another spot. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Like, there was someone, you know, one of the YouTubers, I think it's like Summit Tips, Digital DJ Tips or something. He made a video saying that, like, you shouldn't be changing your set every single week. You should be playing the same set because people are used to that. And like you said, if you start changing it, then people are going to start being like, whatever. But so the civilians don't care. But I feel like as a DJ, bro, playing the same songs every single week is long. And also, I know we shouldn't, actually, I don't want to say we shouldn't care about them, but like the bar staff notice it as well.
100%. There's times where I've come in as a new DJ, I've like may have replaced the resident or whatever, or just done a guest set or something like that, and spoken to bar staff afterwards. It's happened on multiple occasions, and they've been like, "Oh, you know what? It's so nice to hear like different songs because of like the other DJ just plays the same stuff every week in the same order." And I've questioned it every time, like, "What, the same order?" And they're like, "Yeah, I can tell you when I hear a song what's coming next before the DJ's even started teasing it in."
Yeah, like, bro, wow. Like I've had that before as well. But at the same time, there's someone in my residency, and she goes to me, "I know what song you're gonna play next." I'm like, and it made me think. I was like, "Oh, I need to change this up, man." But it's like, for example, you're playing like dancehall, you drop Vitamin S, then you might play Dude. Do you know what I mean? It's just stuff like that. Like, it's just in the same rhythm.
But that's very different because that's a juggling. That's like an actual rhythm. Mm. So, I mean, you can, obviously with the rhythms, you can switch up what order you play them. But I agree with you, the most impactful way to play that rhythm would be Vitamin S. And then I actually play a couple of other cuts from there as well.
Yeah, but
then,
so like, do I. I can't remember the bloody name of it.
Dude's being the biggest one of that rhythm. Yeah, so it's like, makes sense to end with that.
End with that, yeah. I think
dance was different when you're talking about on the same rhythm because, it's like, if you have the way that you play that rhythm, you know, like that section may be the same every time because you know that tiny little rhythm juggling works. But I'm talking like, I'm talking about, there's like really bait obvious ones. Young M.A. Ooh, straight into Bobby Shmurda.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. And I'm guilty of that too. Occasionally, I will play it because it just works.
Yeah,
like there's a certain part of Young M.A.'s song where everyone just screams the word and then the drop of Bobby Shmurda comes in when everyone's finished and it just works. That is something that I never heard anyone else do and I was doing it. Then I went to another club and another DJ did it. And I went to another club and another DJ did it. And it's like, right, okay. So it's like, this is an obvious one. Everyone's come up with this. So deliberately now, I make a conscious effort to not play those two songs together. I still will occasionally, but don't get it twisted. If there's another DJ in the room, I'm doing it differently.
My toxic
trait is, you know, that hyper focus we were talking about. There's another DJ on the room, my hyper focus is on the DJ because I'm like, all right, cool, let me show them the levels today, and I forget everyone else is even there.
have you ever been in a club, right? So obviously another DJ's playing, they haven't even teased the song yet, but you know what's already coming next.
I couldn't recall, but 100%.
I was there. I done it the other day. So I was with my two boys and we was out and it was like a UK warm up. And then I think he played Best Life, and I was like, 100% he's gonna play No Don after this. Played it, and then after No Don he played Did You See, because as a DJ I know the BPM order and I know what tracks are in that order and I know what bangers are there as well. So I was stood there, he's gonna play No Don, he's gonna play Did You See. It's bad. Have you ever been out with like your boys and told them what song's coming next and pretty much ruined their night?
No, not ruined their night. Funnily enough, actually, like a lot of my closest friends like completely different music to me.
Mm.
So when we hang out, we don't go to the club.
Okay.
Because they'll be like deep tech house heads or like proper, some of them are like proper drum and bass heads. Mm. And although like drum and bass is cool, I can't do it for a whole night. I can't go to a drum and bass event for a whole entire night. So actually me and my boys don't hang out in the club anymore because we're just...
Different, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's for me, like, if I'm going to a club, I'm either, it's either because I'm taking a girl out and we're going to the club, or I'm just doing some field research.
Yeah,
I'm just going and just testing it. Because I think it's really important as a DJ to listen to other DJs. I've said it plenty of times on here. Like, if you have a night off and if you're able to, go out to the club, man. Listen to what other people are playing because it will broaden your scope. And it was like, because I find like my blinkers go on sometimes and then I've 6 months have gone past and I am the only DJ that I've heard play.
Yeah, this is why.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like the set's evolved. I've added new songs in, but it's all from my perspective and it's all from what I've been exposed to. I'll go out and listen to other DJs play and suddenly I'll hear like, 8 songs in a set that I, 4 of them just decided not to put in my set, but they're shelling the dance down. 4 of them I've never even heard in my life. So Shazam comes out to find out what they are. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, cool. Well, now I know actually, yeah, these are really working. So I consider how to add these songs into my set in my own way. Do you know what I mean? Like
another way to do it, especially if you're a very busy DJ, is listen to DJ's live sets. That's what I do now, innit? Whenever I go to the gym or I go on a nice long drive, and then normally all the DJs normally put them on SoundCloud. I put mine on Mixcloud, but like I think it's important to listen to other DJs. But if you can't because you're so busy, use the live sets online, man. Like don't get me wrong, like normal mixes are okay, but they just don't excite me anymore. Like I like hearing the crowd noise in the background, and I like being surprised. It's like, I like listening to like people like Donch and like Levels because you don't know what's coming next. You know, when like too many DJs do the simple 4-bar mixing and you can already hear the next song, it bores me. Like I already know it's going to come, but if I'm hearing scratch drop, one drops, and then I'm hearing dance and stuff like that, and they catch me off guard. That's what I like. I don't like knowing what's coming next. That's why, like, for example, like tomorrow I'm going to, you know, the R&B slow jams.
Chucky's thing.
I'm going there tomorrow, and I know that I'm gonna go there, and I'm gonna be blown away because there's gonna be old school R&B tunes that I'm listening to, right? That I haven't heard in time, and I'm just gonna be in my element in it. I'm not gonna know what's gonna come next. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I really feel like DJs need to start like switching things up and just trying to use the whole element of surprise thing, because the 4-bar mixing is just getting a bit too samey and just boring. I don't know.
You know what?
We all do it. Don't get me wrong. The 4-bar, because you can't do scratch dropping all night. But I don't know. You just need to change up a little bit.
No, I hear you. I hear you, bro. And I think, you know, I think it is, like I said, it's so important to go out and listen to other DJs. And I think doing that, every time I do it, it inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, I feel like I get a new lease of life because, like I said, I hear songs that I'm not playing that this DJ's playing. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to start incorporating that into my set because it's worked. Look, he's played it and the place is absolutely lit up.
It's so important.
I'm going to put, and now I'm excited to play that song because it's a song that I wasn't playing previously. And now when I drop it, everyone's going nuts. You know what I mean? And it's like, but always putting my own flavor on it.
And you know,
always putting it in a way that I want to put it in. But I agree. I think people should switch it up. I don't think even the DJs that do have their set list that they play every week, I think like maybe once a month, just jumble it up. And then for the month, just play it again differently. Bro, your mic's gone.
Oh, can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, okay,
Oh, hang on. Why has that gone to that? 1 second. Whoa. What's going on here? One sec.
All right. Well, while you're fixing the technical, I'll do the introduction to today's podcast. That I wasn't going to do. It was meant to do. But yeah, everyone, big up everyone listening. It's summer. And as you know, as DJs, summertime schedules are absolutely hectic. And mine has been no different. It's been a bit of a mad one. CB's has as well. So we actually weren't able to lock in and get any episodes recorded. I did have every intention on recording an episode in Ibiza actually with CMO and Policy, but like a dickhead, forgot to take the equipment with me, so I got there and didn't record. But yeah, I'm gonna wait for Policy to get back to the UK and get him on, because he's been doing bits out in Ibiza. Is your mic back yet?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Hang on, what was I saying? We'll get back to Policy in a second, actually. Hang on. Yeah, so yeah, a technique that I said to DJs, and it is hard, is so play your set like last Saturday, whatever, get the history of it, and then highlight all those tracks red, right? So when you go play next week, try not play the red tracks. Because you obviously have your...
Oh, when you say highlight red, you mean the little tag, the colour tag.
Little tag in Serato, yeah. Mm. So colour it red, right? So obviously you're going to be in a warm-up folder, a main set folder, a dancehall folder. Yeah, and you're gonna have the certain scenario in the night. So it's gonna get to like, I don't know, it'll come to warm up. You jump in a warm up folder and you gotta try and avoid the red tagged tracks.
That's quite a good one. There's other things to do as well to actually, okay, so here's actually some tips. If you are a DJ and you wanna know how to switch up your sets every week, give yourself rules when you're playing. So for example, you could have a rule where you're like, no more than 10 minutes on any one genre. Every 10 minutes you have to switch the genre. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, what I mean by that is like, not like 10 minutes of hip hop and that's it for the whole night. You can come back to it, of course, but soon as you've done 10 minutes of hip hop, switch to the next thing. Could be Afrobeats, could be dancehall, could be R&B, could be grime. Soon as you've done up to 10 minutes of that, switch to the next thing. So you're constantly like keeping the vibe moving. Another one, I think Scotty B might have invented this game, you know, the alphabet. Because I remember he told me about this, the alphabet one. Choose an artist or a song that begins with A, and then the next song you play or the next artist has to begin with B, and then
Christ.
C, and then D. I go through the set like that. That's a really complicated one, but actually
that would stress me.
I've done that a few times in Niketown, which is very, very different because like, yeah. Obviously, I don't have a crowd to entertain. Mm. I can just play. But there's another way to switch up your sets.
Yeah,
do the alphabet
stress.
Game.
That's
alphabet. I like your stressful. One. I like what you said about at the start of the set, just like roulette wheel. Boom. Brrr, bang. Yeah. That song. That's what I'm starting with. I don't do that. I quite often start not with the same song, but it will usually be around like the 95, 96 BPM right at the start.
Yeah,
so and then I kind of lurk around that area because I find it's quite a good tempo that if things do pick up early and you need to pick up the pace, you can get up there quite quick.
Yeah.
But also like people coming in, if it's just like the odd little group or the guy with his girl or just smaller groups, they can bubble at that pace.
Yeah,
it's not too fast. It's not too slow. It's just a good tempo. And there's a lot of music at that tempo that can work without rinsing out the main bits.
Yeah, but, I used to start at around about 80. It was always a thing where I started at 80 all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So I think what I used to do is when I used to DJ is to start at 80 and then work my way down. I go 80 to 90, 90 to 100 and then work my way up and then reset again.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But now I can't do that. But so yeah, now I just do the roulette wheel. If I'm at 120 and I got to start at 120. Tonight though, I will be playing something from Burna Boy's new tape.
Woo!
100%. Whether
I bought that on vinyl, you know.
Yeah, I see that.
I single-handedly helped get it to number one. When you buy the physical copies, I swear nowadays it's like the equivalent of like 400 billion streams. So I'm waiting for my plaque. I'm waiting for my award because I bought it on vinyl. That's a very sick shout. Congratulations to Burna Boy for getting a number one album. Funnily enough, it's not his best album.
Which, what do you think is his best album? To be fair,
I haven't listened
to all of his albums, to be fair. But this one, you know what it was like? It was, so I listened to, normally when I listen to a track, an album, I listen to the first track, like the intro. Then if it just doesn't hit straight away, yeah, I'm like, But you see the track Normal, number two, yeah, fam, that's what done it for me. That's what done it for me. He had his little intro track, then it went into Normal, and went into another one. Just every, like, I think it's On Form, bro. It's every track after track after track.
On Form's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it is. It is a very solid project. They Play is my song. That is that. That's my. You know how everyone knows how I rinsed last.
Yeah,
I like. I did a journey once from Birmingham to London, which took like 2 hours to drive. Last was the only song I listened to.
Yeah,
for the whole entire journey. It was on repeat back then.
Yeah, you sound like me, man.
The new song from his album called They Play. That's this project is crack for me. It's not City Boys, which is the Jeremiah sample one.
Yeah.
Actually, there's another one, a slow one called If I'm Lying towards the end. I don't like the intro, if I'm honest. I like Burner, but I think it's GZA is the featured artist. I think it's just so out of place.
Yeah.
I like unnecessary. And I don't know. I feel like when I'm listening to Burner, or when I'm listening to Afrobeats, I don't want to hear rap because I'm listening to Afrobeats. I'm taking myself out of the rap bag to listen to like music.
Yeah.
Not the rap's not music, but you know what I mean? Like, and then, so I don't really like GZA on there. I think he's just kind of saying a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, but you hit track number two, man. Normal, bro. And then, that tune's only 2 minutes long. Yeah, I went on a walk earlier, and I think I went on like a 15-minute walk. I just played it over and over.
There you go.
And over.
There you go. That's exactly what
it's bad. It's hard.
I actually wondered a while ago with Last. excuse me. Because Last had such an effect on me, like an addictive effect, bro. Like it was insane. The amount of times, even now, when the rest of the world is over it, I still blast Last like it's brand new. And I fucking love that song. Honestly, yeah, no joke. I was trying to look into, and this, if I ever interview Burna Boy, this is a question I will ask him about if him or his engineers did any research into addictive frequencies in music. Because like the frequencies in music is a real thing. Like you can have certain frequencies that make you feel moody. Yeah. There's certain frequencies that they can actually affect you on a cellular level, bro. It's quite wild and it's very deep. And I don't know enough about it to go super deep on it, but genuinely interested to know if Burna Boy or his engineers or producers or anyone incorporates any of that into the music, because bruv, some of his songs, like you just said, you cannot stop listening to Normal.
Yeah. It's just hits, bro. It's just,
I have last, Alone. If I'm Lying, there's another one called How Bad Can It Be from his last album.
Bro, you know the track Tonight, is it Tonight from his old
Like that's, bro, like a housey type tune, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good. That's got crack in it. Yeah, Tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, that's got crack in it. Like, bro. Yep.
And I think it's like there's no other artist that has had this effect on me with their music. So I'm honestly intrigued to know if there's any, like, are they fucking with the frequencies here? Like, is there not even on like a conspiracy level, but I just mean, have they tapped into frequencies that on a subconscious level in our heads is just making that feeling, making the music even better because it's hitting the soul. Do you know what I mean? Like more so than just making the music. That's what one thing I'm so interested to find out. And to be honest, I can kind of picture sitting down and interviewing Burner and asking that question and setting it up exactly how I just set it up. And then him going, no.
he's lying, man. He's lying.
But yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, they play. That's my crack from this album. I can't stop listening to that.
Yes, it's a good tape, man. It's good.
I think as well, like I might actually, within a couple of years, I might be fluent in Yoruba. because of Burna Boy, bro. Like, I'm listening to his songs and I'm looking up the meanings and I'm trying to figure out like what it's. I'm learning the lyrics. I'm learning how it's what is said, and then I'm actually looking up what it means, so I understand half the music as well. Like, it's crazy. Yeah,
not me, mate. I'm literally just singing whatever he's saying, man. I have no idea. But bro, yeah, his new tape, Burna Boy, sick, man. That's gonna be. I think I'm gonna play On Form as my first track tonight. It's in my opening Afrobeats crate.
Yeah.
I'll play that, and then I'll play like. Sitting on top of the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, just play a few tracks on that and then I'll just go off. I've got some new Afrobeats that I need to go through anyway, so I'm going to play that tonight.
Yeah, City Boys did well last night.
Yeah.
City Boys track did quite well. I think that's the familiar one for a lot of people. They play didn't really hit.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hit at all.
I'm going to play Normal. I think Normal's like 92 BPM, so I might even play that tonight. Might even play after last, to be fair. Last, or before last. Actually, no, last is 88 in it. So I might even play it. I don't know. But yeah.
Will you introduce it or will you just drop it?
Nah, I think I'll just drop it. Like, do you know what? I haven't really been on the mic that much in my residency. I feel like I've just been going recently and not really been on the mic. But I said to myself the other day when I played in Brighton, I said to myself, I'm going to get on the mic a bit more. And I actually enjoy it and I actually play a lot better. Because I also kind of like it breaks my setup a little bit, and I relax so much more, and I let the songs breathe, and I just my set's just a lot more chilled out. I don't know why, but like because recently what I've been doing is I've been playing like 100 miles an hour. I've been playing for like playing a song for like 20 seconds. I change. But when I pick up the mic, I'm like slowing down a little bit. I'm actually letting tunes breathe a little bit as well, and I feel like that I've got into a bad habit of like. Chopping and changing songs too fast.
I do that occasionally.
Like I know like some people do say you're playing too fast. Like people come up to me and say, oh, you can let the song play a little bit more, but like I think I've got in a habit where I'm actually playing too quickly. And there's like it's like a time and a place for it, isn't it? Especially in like a dancehall rave, like playing quick is very important, I feel.
Like, yeah, with dancehall music it's almost like part of the culture. It's how people do it.
But because I started, because obviously I wasn't like great at dancehall, I've got a lot better, but I'm using that technique in like everything now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I need to slow down a little bit because what I'm doing as well is I'm playing so fast, like a section on the night that could be like, that could be half an hour is like 10 minutes now. So now I have to find another 20 minutes worth of, because I'll get to like, I don't know, 2:30 and I finish at 3:30. I'm like, not saying I'm running out of songs, but I'm like, if I let some of these songs breathe a little bit, I could stretch it out a little bit. You know what I mean? And also, if I slow down, go on the mic, I could change genre. Like, because I'm normally playing Afrobeats. I'll slap through loads of Afrobeats, but I could have played 5 Afrobeats tracks, set something on the mic, and then play some old school R&B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm really just, I think when I start Freshers, I'm going to take the time to actually start using the mic and slow down a little bit. I think that's one thing I want to work on. Time and place, like if I'm playing any raves that are very busy, dancehall raves or whatever, I'll do my quick stuff. But I feel like in my residency, I might slow down a little bit, just chill. And also slow down to be able to look at my library as well. Because when I'm playing so fast, I'm on autopilot. So I'm like,
Yeah. That's really a thing.
Like I'm bang, I'll play a song. Then even before, like, I don't know, within 10 seconds, I already know, obviously, I know what songs are coming next, but I'm like, it's just because it's such a habit. Like, I'll play, like, oh, I didn't even know, man. For example, I'll play AO, Chris Brown, and I'll go, I already know, like, it's two taps down on the keyboard, it's Wild Thoughts. Like, it's...
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's... But if I took the time to slow down a little bit and look at my library, I'd be like, you know what? Let me not go to Wild Thoughts. Let me play something else.
Yeah, you know I mean? Autopilot really is a thing, and it is very easy to get into that pattern. Funnily enough, back in the day, mine was Unforgettable and Wild Thoughts.
Yeah.
those two seemed to go together a lot when I was playing them, and I feel like they were quite big songs at about the same time. But yeah, it's I think it's good to have different styles available, different ways of playing, and also, but more importantly, the knowledge of when to apply them.
A
residency where it's a, I think residencies where it's like a regular weekly night is where you should slow down a bit more. Give them different bits every week. Like, give them, just dig out a tune you haven't played for 5 years, but you know slaps, and chuck it in there sometimes. You know what I mean? And like, and yeah, let the songs breathe a bit. But I also think they do need, in the resident nights, you do need to have like the peaks and troughs. Do you know what I mean? So you need to peak in the hip hop section. You need to throw out all them bangers, but you need to do it quick. Because it's like keeping the ball up in the air, like bang, 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 bang. And you're just hitting them with constant, like hit, 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 hit. So they just have their little 10 minutes of like absolutely sick hype time. And then you can transition into something a little bit more smoother and stuff like that. I think adding it in is a good thing. I also actually think there's place for, there's a place for it in the warm-up as well.
What, slowing down or?
Cutting quickly.
Cutting quickly
in the warm-up. I think like you mentioned earlier, for example, like using like No Don and Did You See? Like cutting those songs, if you're doing them in a warm-up, like cutting through them quite quickly gets the excitement, because they are still like, they're not new tunes, of course, but they're still anthems. And it's suddenly the excitement will start to build and you can kickstart a dance floor quicker.
I do
think there's a time and place for it, but I just think doing it for prolonged periods, if you're a resident DJ, I think the crowd is just going to get exhausted by it, and they're just going to get, they're going to get bored by, or not even bored, but like
annoyed
by the fact that, oh, my song's just come on, and 15 seconds later, oh, it's the next song.
Oh, bro. I'm
it can so be a upset. Massive song, but actually, you know what? I really wanted to hear that song.
Yeah, honestly, I'm so bad at it. Like, any DJs that like are listening now and they've heard me play or whatever, like I'm just such a bad a bad culprit of just playing so quick. I think
because even with the bigger songs, even with the best songs, bro, we hear them all the time. If you're playing out 3 times a week, you're hearing the biggest songs minimum 3 times a week. And so of course, after a month, of course you're gonna like, oh, you know what, I just started, this isn't going to the second verse, no way, this isn't even going to the first verse, I'm playing the chorus that we're cutting out. But what we neglect is the fact that actually, you know what, like Sandra and her mates, they this is the first time they've come out this month. Might even be the first time they've come out since that song dropped. And now they're gassed because they've been looking forward to it. Their songs come on in the club. Yes, I'm dancing. Oh, he's cut it already.
Like, I think as well, like, if you're, I think I do look at the crowd a lot. Obviously, you should. But I see the young, especially the younger generation, you'll drop a song, play the chorus, yeah? As soon as it gets to the verse, they don't know anything. So that's why I've got into changing so quickly, because I've got into dropping a song, letting the hook play, and then by the end of the hook, I'm in the next track. Because the crowd, you what you see them, like, have you ever watched the crowd literally listen to 50 Cent in, I know this is the older song, but 50 Cent in the club. I can only really play the hook now. Because when it comes to 50's verse, the energy just goes down. As soon as you hear dun dun, everyone's like, it should be, like, everyone goes mad. But then when it gets to his verse, no one knows that. So that's why I'll go into like Locked Up, Akon after that or something like that. Because
I think to be honest, I think 50 Cent's a bad example in my opinion, because 50 was very, very good at writing his verses and having the call and response parts in his verses as well. I think he made 50 Cent made fucking incredible rap music, bro. Because for actual rap fans, it was like, yeah, this guy's hard. But then, yeah, for the people that, can you play the birthday song by 50 Cent?
Oh,
right,
man.
They know the words anyway. So like it worked on all markets. So I think that's a bad example, but I do know what you mean. Just for example, like certain Drake songs chorus slaps, or like a Travis Scott where the chorus absolutely slaps, or even like French Montana, I think is quite a good example of that, where French Montana picks incredible beats and he either makes good choruses or the person that he features with makes a great chorus, but then his verses are sort of pretty forgettable. Do you know what I mean? Which is ironic because one of his biggest songs is called Unforgettable.
I was about to say, like, Unforgettable. Like, I think it's Swae Lee, innit? So his hook, his verse, very catchy. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
So I can play that track. Do you know what I mean? But Then again, have I even heard the second verse of that? I'm just trying
to
think.
I've played. It's quite an unorthodox song structure, unforgettable, because it's like a 12-bar chorus, but like it's not really a chorus, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
And then French, it's quite strange, the structure of that song, to be honest. But there's been instances where I played it all the way through.
Yeah, some tracks I haven't even got past the first chorus. You know, when you go to like maybe hear another DJ or you hear on the radio, you're like, rah, I didn't know this bit existed, man.
By October, Taliban's will literally just be da 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 da. Next song.
Yeah, literally. So it's like that was another example. WAP, Skilly Bang, right? I literally cannot get to the first verse because the first verse is awful. It's terrible.
And that is an amazing example of what you just said.
Mm.
That song's such a strange one because it drops, everyone goes sick.
Mm.
Oh, what, like everyone's on it, like it's the biggest shit. Like, and then the verse, dead. The energy in the room, bro, they've gone from being gun fingers, like everyone's sick, everyone's going nuts, to standing still.
Yeah, so this is why most of the time when I play WAP, I'll play it. Then when everyone goes WAP, 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 I'll bring the volume down. But then I'll restart the song again just to give it a bit more time to play it. Because otherwise that song will literally be off for like 10 seconds. So I'll wheel it, but I won't wheel it because I actually don't like wheeling properly. I just press the first cue point.
Yeah.
But
restart it.
Yeah, restart it. And I'll play it again. Let the whole intro, I think it's like an 8-bar intro. Play that again. And everyone goes in, whap, 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 whap. And then I'm straight out.
Do that every time?
Not every time, but it depends how loud the crowd is.
When
I bring the volume down, if the roof's going off, I'll always start it again. Always.
Right, yeah.
But if you just hear a little wap, 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 nah.
one guy in the corner by himself. Wap, 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 wap.
And then I'll go into like either like Crocodile Teeth or Yeah or something like that. I don't know. It's one of the two rhythms in it, but
Wap 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 is a great example of everyone going sick for the chorus and then standing still. Another one is that, I can't even remember the name of the artist. Is it Armani White? Billie Eilish.
Black
top, big t-shirt, Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Remember, no one knows the rest.
Yeah.
No, now we're standing still.
Yeah, literally.
That song, it's like another 4 minutes until he does the chorus again. Goes on for fucking ages. However, I actually do really like that artist's next song called Silvertooth.
Never heard it, bruv.
The beat slaps. It's hard, but it is not connecting in England.
Yeah,
like it's a proper warm up vibes where I feel like there is a time in the past where that would have been the biggest rap tune because of the sound of it. Mm. But he does like similar thing. He's got the same formula where like the beat cuts out for the hook, and then the beat slaps back in like half a bar in and stuff, and he's just. Listen to it. It's called Silvertooth, I think. And it's got, I think, ASAP Ferg on the feature, which I've never played Ferg's verse because it's just a quick in and out, one of them quick in and out songs. But I really, really like that song. You know what other song I really like and surprised me? The Weeknd, is it called Popular?
Oh, bro. Banger. Yeah.
Fucking slappeth.
Banger, but I will say so I played it I don't know if I played it warm up or opening set the other day in Brighton. So I took my boy Jack to Brighton the other day and he was like, I played Popular. He's like, this is a banger, wait until you hear is it Playboi Carti's verse. And I was like, I was listening, right, and I was like, when has he come on? He's like, he's been already. I'm like, Playboi Carti just does he just makes noise.
Right. Yeah.
And he was like, nah, you gotta wait for it, bro. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Trust me, the weekend's hook is the best bit. Like, it's so good.
That song's actually really doing bits, you know, in the club, which is surprising to me because I never pay attention to like the top 40. I don't listen to the radio. I haven't been out for a while to hear anyone else play. So when I just randomly played it like towards the end of a warm-up the other day, just as I was about to start kicking off, I was doing a little R&B thing and then played that. Bruv, all the girls went fucking nuts. Like, yeah, went mad for this song. Like, I'm one. Talking mad for the song. Crazy. And I was like, whoa, where where did this come from? Because this was just a song that I downloaded just because. And I heard it and I was like, oh, it's cool. It's got a nice little swing to it. It's going to work in the clubs. Mm.
Yeah,
it's and banger, bro. Suddenly it's every girl's favorite song right now, which I had no idea of. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's good, mate.
Yeah, man.
Very sick.
There was, yeah, actually, there was two topics, but I'm only going to choose one of them. I'm going to do the other one next week. Did you see the post that I put up on Instagram from a festival I did in Belgium? I've got this little wordplay thing where it goes from sicko mode. Drake talks about when I shoot my shot, that shit ready, like I'm Sheck. And I just loop it up and fuck about with it a bit, and it goes into Mo Bamba by Sheck West.
I think, is that when I comment on saying the camera quality is sick? I think, yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. That's the exact one. This isn't like a, this isn't a groundbreaking transition, I'm aware. It's quite tricky to do. It's quite tricky to do well, I think. The way that I do it is difficult to do live, but once you've got it, you've got it, and it's not like groundbreaking, but it's cool. It works, and it's a little bit slightly out the box way to mix, in my opinion. So I posted it up. Cool. Got loads of traction on my page. Loads of people commenting. Showed that I was playing at a festival and all that stuff. It did its job. And then shouts to the guys at BeatSource and DJ City. They took it and posted it on their page. Oh my word, bro, the saltiness in the comment section, the seasoning in that comment section, holy fuck.
In the BeatSource one or your
In the BeatSource, no, in the BeatSource one. So basically, the reason I wanted to bring this up, wasn't to complain about people complaining about me, because I don't really care. But can we discuss for a minute the rules of a wordplay? Because my whole thing about getting interaction on this was, I just titled it and put a little caption that speaks that says, can you spot the wordplay? Because Drake says the word Sheck. And in my trick, the way I transition it, I cut every other lyric of Drake's out and then just have him say Sheck. And then it just echoes on the beat. And then Sheck, bang, comes back in. And then Sheck. And then I go, hoes, because Sheck, Wes, comes in. For me, that's wordplay. I'm playing with the words. But Sheck Wes's first word isn't Sheck, but it is a song by Sheck Wes.
Yeah.
So to me, that's wordplay. Oh my word, right. So I got into it with this guy on the BeatSource comments. I was kind of semi-trolling as well because I had time that day. But he was fucking fuming. He was so angry at me for calling it wordplay. And he was like, but it wasn't wordplay because the next sentence didn't start with Sheck. I know what other DJs in there. I think there's a DJ, I might have his name wrong, but a DJ called DJ DeVille, I think, probably an American, who apparently actually did the exact same thing and sent it out as a transition.
Okay.
So there were a bunch of guys in there like, he's not doing it live. He's doing DJ DeVille's transition. And I'm like, I didn't even reply to them. Actually, I think I replied to one person. I was like, no, this actually is live. And then DJ DeVille came in and was like, yeah, this isn't my transition. Yeah. This is a different one. He's doing this live. It's pretty sick. And again, like, I'm not claiming to be fucking breaking Guinness World Records. This isn't like groundbreaking transition. It's just a fun little trick. So I'm not doing an 8-bar mix. But bro, the DJ community were angry that day. And I just feel like, why hate? I think a lot of these guys are just hating. Like, I looked, the guy that I really got into it with, I looked actually at his profile to see like who he was.
Bedroom
and DJ. He's like, not even a bedroom DJ, bro. I think in the nicest way possible, I'm just going to say, I think he was the guy that didn't make it.
Oh man.
Do you know what I mean? Cause he looked, he was definitely a bit older. Definitely one of the, he's not using vinyl. He's not a real DJ. I got the impression he's one of them guys. He's probably one of them guys that was fucking sick and could scratch and could do crab scratches and backflips and beat juggling and all of this stuff, all while doing everything else, but just never made it. Yeah. And so he looks at me doing what he considers a basic transition, and he's like, oh, he's sees me in front of a festival crowd, maybe got a little bit of envy and just got salty on the comments. But there's quite a few salty comments in there, brother. And I'm just like,
people just don't like to see success, man. Like, people just don't like to see people doing good. There's always going to be a hater in it. Like, you can do the best thing. You could have achieved all that. You've done all your hard work. You're in front of a festival stage because you've worked flipping hard. But people in the comments like, oh, I can do that. Oh, I could probably do that. No, you didn't work hard enough, right?
Yeah. But this is the thing. Like, I'm not claiming, my caption wasn't, I'm the only person ever that can do this.
Mm.
Because, like I said, it's not super, super technical. I just spotted a little wordplay. But then, yeah, the funniest thing was the amount of people that were like, this is not wordplay. So I was like, all right, what are the rules? What, in your opinion, CB, in your opinion, what's the rules for a wordplay?
Wordplay could be, oh, don't get me involved in this.
You're in. You sat down with me today, bro. So you are in. You are today's victim.
Nah, because you can... wordplay is using the words, or if, like you said, if something's coming in with that artist, it will work. Because what else are you going to call it? What else is it called?
Precisely.
Like, I get what you mean. I get what people are trying to say. Because, yeah, the word isn't like, you're not doing Sheck, whatever. But like, when you hear Sheck, right, and you hear Mo Bamba, you're like, okay, I get this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mate, do you know what? People just haters, like, just that's literally it. Like,
I want to know if other people have a name for it. Because I think, like, there are different levels to wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one that we mentioned a couple weeks ago where this is the first one that's come to my head. The Hotline Bling.
Yeah.
These days, all I do is, and then I play with the DJ Khaled. All I do is win. Mm. Like, the all I do is, they're using exactly the same words. So that is wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think as well, like, what else can it possibly be called? Sheck into a Sheck Wes song. Like, what else could it be? Does anyone, because there's tone play as well, which is where people do the really, that stuff's very, very clever. And I don't think I have any of them in the bag, actually. Like, I can't
they're,
do them.
They're hard to remember. I used to have one. It was a Bodak. Wait. It was one that goes into Bodak Yellow.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Do you know what? It's one of them ones where you forget. You need to memorize where the keypads are. And just. I've stopped doing them now. Like, I used to do them all the time. But now, I don't know. I feel like I'm not neglecting, that's the wrong word. I'm not enhancing my skills anymore. Like, I have this technical ability, right? But I just don't practice it enough. Like, I literally plugged back in my decks the other day. They've been unplugged for, like, I don't know, 2 months. I plugged them back in. I was like, you know, I'm actually all right here. But I just need to take some more time to just play some music and then just be like, oh, hang on. Here's a nice little wordplay. Here's a nice little transition.
And then
put them in crates and then use them at my sets. But
yeah, so I agree. I have actually a crate in my Serato called TikTok.
Yeah.
And that has all of my wordplay transitions because there was a time during lockdown where I was just creating wordplay transitions for TikTok. So I have them all in there. Not actually, I need to update that because I've got a few new ones. But it's tricky. Wordplay. Anyway, yeah. Shout out to that salty old guy on the Beat Source page comments. Can't even remember his name. It was a weird name.
I can't remember what it was. The guy that never made it. Call him that.
But yeah. Talking of Beat Source, big announcement, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, you could be listening to this episode 2 years from now. In which case, 2 years ago. Next week on Sunday the 10th of September, we are going to be doing a live talkover episode at the Beat Source DJ City DJ Link Up in London. It is a momentous occasion. It's something that I've wanted to do. I've wanted to do a live podcast episode for the longest time, but hadn't pulled my finger out my ass to do it, basically. I've just been sat down not organizing a live podcast episode. So yeah, I want to shout out to Mojax for reaching out and saying, Bro, we're doing the link up. We would love you to come and do a live episode of the podcast. Because what I've been able to do is get Mojax's help with all the technical ability and all the outside stuff that I'm not able to do by myself. So, yeah, incredible news. Guys and girls, make sure you register. Go to the BeatSource or DJ City websites or hit up their social media. You can register to come to the link up. I do believe, I probably should have looked this up first. I do believe you do need to register to go. I don't think you can just turn up. And I think the reason for that is probably so that they can manage the capacity of the building. Because obviously by bringing in the talk over live, that's it. They're going to tip the capacity over. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people coming queuing, to mates. Sit down and watch me chat shit. But yeah, CB is going to be with me as well. And it's going to be kind of like a panel type podcast, but we're going to be recording it live. There's going to be a live Q&A. And I'm extremely excited about it, actually, because it's the very first time in... Shit, I think this podcast has been running for like 5 years now. And it's the first time that there's a live talkover podcast. So I'm actually very excited about it. That's next Sunday, the 10th of September. So make sure you guys roll out to that. I think that wraps up this episode. I did have another one to talk about, another thing. But you know what? I want to save that for next time we're sitting down, because it's not got an expiry on it. And it's not a short topic either. Yeah. But... Yeah, it's DJ Double, DJ CB. This is the Talkover podcast for the DJs, by the DJs. Number one podcast in the UK for DJs and Finland. We're still up there. We're still topping the charts for music-related podcasts in Finland, believe it or not. We're still number one. So yeah, big up to whoever is in Finland just streaming the shit out of the podcast. I love you for that, because you're keeping us up there. But yeah, Sunday next week, the 10th of September, we're doing the live episode. The episode will also be available to listen to as next week's episode. But what I would really love is for you guys to come down, and I want to see you lot, actually. You know, everyone that listens, I come across so many DJs that when we bump into each other, they're like, oh yeah, I love the podcast, I listen, da, da, da. And I love meeting you lot. So come through to the link up, come introduce yourself if I don't know you already. Let's meet, let's chat, get involved in the Q&A, and come and be a part of something very, very special in the chapter of the Talkover podcast life. So yeah, that's it. That's this episode done. DJ Double, CB, Talkover podcast, later.
Peace.